It's time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
All right. Good evening, everybody. It is Sunday night, to be exact. It is 8 o'clock, and it is time for a very special St. Patrick's Day edition of the Ron and Brian podcast. Not also to mention, it's episode 296. I am here with my compatriot, my lover, my friend. Brian, how the hell are you tonight, my friend?
I'm doing great. I am really looking forward to this week's episode. It is Sunday, March 17th, that we are recording this. It is it's St. Patrick's Day. I mean, I see you have dressed up as your traditional leprechaun that you always do for St. Patrick's Day. I'm decked out head to toe in green. Does it irk you to watch people dress up in green for St. Patrick's Day?
So we were out last night, and we'll talk about that later on.
Thanks for the invite.
My wife was like, oh, I forgot it's St. Patrick's weekend, because there were people, dressed in green. And she was like, oh, I should be dressed in green. Now, mind you, we were not at like an Irish themed or St. Patrick's theme event. Yeah. And I was just like, I look at St. Patrick's Day the same way I look at like Cinco de Mayo, the way I look at New Year's Eve. It's like amateur night. I have no desire to be out partaking anymore.
Sure. Sure. I saw people yesterday wearing a Oakland A's baseball cap in attempts to check off the I'm wearing green box on their wardrobe. It was just you either go in green to a St. Patrick's Day parade or you're doing a bar crawl, whatever. Just don't do it. It's okay. If you're just spending the day at the mall, maybe going to Home Depot, you don't have to wear green. Nobody needs to, see you in like a green sweater and green pants.
I have a green Yankees cap. Could have put it on. Chose not to.
But didn't.
Chose to leave it off. Did not.
That's why I respect you, by the way. Respect you. What is this comment right here from Janelle?
Comment about the photo behind me. So, looking behind me, I mean, there obviously is the title belt showing that I am 51% owner of the podcast, but I received a package this weekend, an anonymous package containing some fan art. That is a photo of me with the belt that is was taken. The photo was taken right after I regained possession of the belt after Brian sent it to me, and someone lovingly recreated it in mixed media, sent it to me, I guess, as a token of appreciation for the fact that I am champ again. And so I don't know who this person is, but I send my thanks out to them. And I just figured, listen, let's, since they're obviously a fan of the show, let's have it up there. And so I can be just kind of looking over my shoulder all the time.
It's a great photo from what I can tell. It almost looks like one of those, people looking inside of a mirror, because I see you, I see the belt, and then a little smaller, I see a picture of you and the belt. But it looks like you're clutching it for dear life, as one would after they've rescued their child out of the grips of death in a flash flood in the Grand Canyon.
I was holding it tightly. It felt good to have the belt pressed against me. And, you can't see the look of joy on my face that well from how far back the picture is. But the artist really captured it, really captured the emotion and the heartfelt gratitude I had at that point in time.
And we love fan art. I mean, it is something that, as champion, one of the many privileges of the 51% ownership of the podcast is all fan art and contributions, paraphernalia, memorabilia, all get sent to the champion. Matt puts it together, usually sends, when I was champion, getting that weekly package from Matt with all the tokens of appreciation from the fans. I would get it once a week.
The postcards, the donations, all of that.
Just the naked photos of the prisoners, from multiple countries throughout the world. It was really just, I almost miss that more than the belt itself, but that's, anyway, congratulations to you for your 50% ownership, champ. And I'm so glad that, and also let's be completely serious here. You are displaying the artwork that the fans are producing. And I think that's one of the things that sets us apart from other shows is that, we do so clearly show our appreciation.
Yeah. So other people would just put it in the shredder. And that's not mm-hmm. what we are. We are gracious and we are filled with gratitude.
Yeah. We take nothing for granted.
All right. Let's get going with a very special St. Patrick's edition of Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the Week.
Sláinte.
Prost. Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week.
All right, Brian, what did you bring to drink this week?
There's only one appropriate thing to drink on St. Patrick's Day, and that's a Guinness Stout right here coming out of Listen, I love this. This is my Drink of the Week Ron and Brian podcast mug. I poured the Guinness. Look at this. Absolutely no light goes through it. It's a Guinness Stout, and let me quickly pull up some information because you know me, I like to talk about my Guinness. this is the Guinness Draft Stout. It's nitrogenated, which I believe is a made up word. Smooth and creamy, swirling clouds tumble as the storm begins to calm, settle, breathe in the moment, then break through the smooth, light head in a bittersweet reward. Unmistakably Guinness, from the first velvet sip to the last lingering drop. And every deep, dark, satisfying mouthful. I think I saw the first three movies, Deep, Dark, Satisfying Mouthful 1, 2, and 3, starring Heather Hunter, I believe. Nice. Anyway, in between, per beauty, pure Guinness, Beer Advocate scores at an 89, 4.2 ABV. I bought a 4-pack of these 14.9 fluid ounce cans. I might be drinking all 4 of them today. Here is the Guinness Stout for St. Patrick's Day.
Sláinte, as they like to say. And you already know it's good. You already know it's delightfully creamy and delicious. Just go down.
That's a good home beer. That is a good home beer. I might be able to put down several of them.
All right.
Am I already getting shit from pronunciations? Nitrogenated.
So.
What did I say? I said nitrogenated. Fuck. I hate this. Ron.
Yes.
What are you drinking?
I brought 2 drinks. I'm double fisting it in honor of St. Patrick's Day.
Saw that movie. Double fisting.
I too, Brian, went with some Guinness, but a little different. This is the Guinness Nitro Cold Brew Coffee. Beer with coffee and natural coffee flavors. Again, in the distinct 14.9 fluid ounce can that Guinness is known for. Nitrogenated. Only 4% alcohol by volume, but again, still a dark hue, just like the Guinness that you're drinking.
Take it in, enjoy it.
But with that bitter coffee aftertaste, why not ruin the taste of a Guinness with the bitter coffee aftertaste? And for a little taste of sweetness, Brian, 12.5 Rebel Hard Coffee. This is their limited edition Irish cream latte. It is a malt beverage with natural flavors, 100% Arabica coffee and caramel color. This is smooth and creamy and clocking in at 5%. It's a little smaller pour, so I put it in a little smaller glass, but looks like almost a mudslide type.
I was going to say, that looks like a Bailey's.
Oh, that's good. Ooh, this is nice.
Walk me through this one. Let me hear this. Let me hear, what are you experiencing?
So think, just like you said, think about you're having like a Yoo-hoo with Bailey's in it. I mean, that's the kind of flavor pattern I'm getting.
Can you hold that can up again? I would like to get it's a Rebel.
12.5 is the brewery. It's called their Rebel Hard Coffee Series.
Hard coffee. Okay. I'm going to look for it in my local liquor store, because here in the great state of New Jersey, you cannot purchase beer in supermarkets. You have to go to a liquor store to purchase beer or hard coffees, if you would.
It's like Pennsylvania. You have to go to a beer store. Mm. Or if you want liquor, you go.
Maybe if we go, and then you go up to Massachusetts and you got to go to a Packy. Go to a Packy to get some beer.
The Packy store. All right. Ooh, let's keep it going, Brian. Which game of the week?
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
I've got a couple bothers, and they're all kind of wrapped up into one thing. Partly okay. Me. I'm gonna take the first hit. I am responsible for some of this, but it's also soccer teams having multiple jerseys.
Interesting.
Right. You're going to start off there. Over the last couple of weeks, in an effort to really connect with my nephew, whose favorite soccer team in this on the planet is Liverpool, part of the English Premier League. My future brother-in-law, his favorite soccer team is Liverpool. So I was like, you know what? If the two of them combine are liking Liverpool, are you toasting yourself?
I was letting my art self have a little sip as well.
Understood. So I decided I'm going to pick Liverpool as my team. So over the past, I would say maybe month or two, I've really tried to watch Liverpool when they've been on TV. They've been on USA Network, ESPN Plus. I think they were Peacock. Even on Peacock at one sense. And one of the things that I have found somewhat confusing is when you turn on a soccer game, you're not sure right off the bat which team is which, because they do have multiple uniforms. So the first time I watched the Liverpool game,
it's not just a home jersey and an away jersey.
Thank you, Ron. You've already gotten to the core of my complaint. I've used about 900 words. You did about 7. Which is actually very typical of our text exchanges, where you'll text me about 5 words. I send you paragraphs. The first time I watched them, they were wearing red and white. So I was like, all right, Liverpool, their colors are red and white. Then I turned it on and they were wearing some kind of purple, like a light purple. I turned it on. They've been wearing blue, I believe. So today, Liverpool was playing Manchester United, who I believe used to be very good, but are not as good as they have been in the past. But they're still good enough. There's some kind of tournament. There's like 85 different fucking tournaments going on. Anyway, to make a long story short, I turned the Liverpool Man U game on. There was one team wearing red jerseys, one team wearing white jerseys.
Okay.
I don't know the players at this point. I'm not, I haven't gotten that much into it. Turned the game on. There was 15 minutes left in regulation. Game ended in a tie. So then it went into overtime, where they played 30 minutes of overtime. I spent the whole time watching this game, so 45 minutes of game time, rooting for the team wearing red.
Because you just assumed Liverpool wears red.
No, not today. Today, Manchester United was wearing red. So when they scored a goal with like 40 seconds left in overtime, I stood up cheering to be like, yeah, awesome, go Liverpool. At which point I noticed on the TV, suddenly the score changed and they added a goal for Manchester. And I could not for the life of me understand what was wrong. I opened up my laptop. I checked the score there. And it took a little while for me to realize that I've been rooting for the wrong team for 45 minutes. And I blame not necessarily my lack of paying attention or attention to detail, but the fact that this was like their fourth different jersey I've watched them play with. And that's ludicrous. We need a little consistency when it comes to
apparently they're called uniforms. Kits, not uniforms, Brian.
You know, Michael drove a kit in Knight Rider. Hello, Michael. Where are we going? Ron,
yes.
What's bothering you today?
So, Brian, I've got a beef. And I'm going to want your opinion on this because you are someone who I feel is a habitual line stepper in public. You are someone that I think you'd have to admit you push the boundaries of socially acceptable behavior in public with people you know and with people you don't know. And again, okay. I'm not saying this. I'm not shaming you. I'm not, you know, calling you out. I'm just this is why this is the context. Would you argue that point, number one?
No, not at all. I'm not arguing. I would you say that I crossed the line?
I think it depends on the viewer and that and their opinion of the certain situation. Anyway, so last night, a group of us went out to Broken Goblet, a favorite hangout for the podcast, to see a Foo Fighters cover band that were playing at Broken Goblet last night. It was the Jardies, friends of the podcast. It was Amy Jardy as well, acquaintance of the podcast.
Thanks for the invite.
My wife, tolerator of the podcast, and myself. So the way they were selling tickets to this event were they were selling floor seats and they were selling general admission tickets. So if you bought floor seats, you know how they have the high top tables with the chairs around them on that first level? Like that was your floor seat and you were buying chairs at a table so you could sit, have a table in front of you. If you pay, if you bought general admission, it was a free for all. You could stand in the front area. You could find seats that weren't at tables, whatever. So we had bought a whole table. We had bought six tickets that were around this one table. Five of us ended up going, neither here nor there, but five of us. So we had an extra chair, which we knew we had an extra chair we could use, maybe put our feet up, what have you. So we're sitting, we're relaxing. We have a few beverages prior to the band going on. The band goes on, great cover band. We get up, we're kind of standing behind the table. We're facing the stage, we're rocking out. And then, you know, there are people that are milling down, trying to get close to the stage. So there's this group of like four people in like the front corner of our table. And so at one point, like one of them puts like their drink and just kind of rests it on the corner of the table.
Sure.
That's fine. You're just, you know, we're not really using that space if you're just going to sit a drink down. So then you know, another person in their group kind of sets their drink down there. And then now we've got four drinks in the corner of the table. Then one of them grabs one of the chairs, which my coat is on the back of, mind you, turns it and sits herself down and facing the stage. And I'm like, here's the thing. Again, it wasn't really impacting our experience and we weren't using the chair at the time, but it feels like it's one of those situations where they should have just been like, hey, is this cool? Like knowing like there's numbers on the tables or my literal name is on the table because it was reserved for us. And is it me or like, because now I feel like I would have to be the dick to go up and be like, this is our chair and our table. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I felt like they should have awareness enough to be like, hey, is this cool? We're just going to use, set our drinks here and use this chair. If you want us to leave, that's fine. Like, what would Brian do in this situation? Either way, whether you're the person without the table or the person with the table.
This is a key question. Mm-hmm. Was it in your mind, was it clear to this group that that the table and the chairs were yours and that you were in the very near vicinity? Or was it possible that they approached and thought, here was a table where people have left for the night and we're going to see if we can just kind of take it?
Oh, we were right there. We were on the other side of the table, just kind of standing.
But did they know?
People were, and I don't know. But even still, like there was a price difference between a ticket that got you a seat and just a standing room only thing. And every other table was full. Like every table sold, every table had seats, every table had a number on it. So would you look at a number table and think, yeah, there's no reason for that number to be there. This just must be a free for all.
No. I'm going to say that I don't believe that this group just assumed that this was a general admission table that they just kind of lucked into. I'm going to say that they knew that it belonged to somebody, but that they took a shot because nobody was actively using it, that they took a shot under the belief that, oh, this group that reserved the table have left.
But what about the coat on the back of the chair? Like, if it was an empty chair with nothing on it, like my coat literally draped across the back of the chair. Yeah. We're all standing there at the table. Some of the seats are being used and they're just like, plop down, like the audacity.
Hold on. I'm going to say something. Did I hear you state that the both people that you were, the people that that put their glasses on the table and the people that took the chair, were they both women?
Well, the person sitting in the chair was a woman, but the group was two men, two women that sat all their drinks down.
And all four put their chairs on. Because I do believe... No, I'm not going to say that. You're not going to catch me, Ron.
Damn it.
You're not going to drag me into making this at, you know, Brian hates women, because that's not true. I'm going to say, would I have put my glasses down on that table? Absolutely not. Would I have decided, hey, I'm going to grab this seat? Absolutely not. I am. And at the same time, at Yankee Stadium, if I see a seat that nobody's sitting in, I'll keep an eye open for a little bit and then I'm going to grab it. And if the person walks by and says, hey, that's my seat, I will absolutely graciously stand up, thank them for letting me borrow it, let them know that it was very comfortable and they have to look forward to a great seat and a great view as I escort myself out of that row.
They took a break in between sets. And so when they took a break, I went over and I dropped myself down into the chair next to the chair they had commandeered. So now, like, they're literally surrounded by people sitting in chairs and they're like hovering in this corner of the table and sitting on that one lone chair. Also, we had to hold my wife and Marty back because they're a little territorial. They were ready to cut a bitch. And I was like, let's not do that. Let's save that as kind of a last resort if necessary.
So here's the question really now is, what did you guys do? How does this moment get reconciled?
In true, I will say Brian fashion, I didn't feel like the confrontation was necessary.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. So what happened?
It's just, you know, we enjoyed the rest of the second set. Show ended. We all went on our merry way. Good times were had.
Interesting.
Though. I would highly recommend.
Yeah, I don't know that. I don't know that I would have started an argument with these people. I don't think that I would have said, "Hey, listen, you got to move your glasses off my table."
Yeah,
I don't think,
like, because I, now
I can't imagine, like, the glasses I can live with. It would irk me because it's like, lady, this is not your table. If you didn't pay for a table, you have to hold your glass like every other schmuck who didn't pay the extra money for a table. But if they had taken my seat, I think I would have walked over and been like, hey, excuse me, that's my seat. I'm going to sit down and kicked. I think I would have. Also depended on how many drinks I had in me. I got to be brutally honest with you.
Right. Fair enough. All right. So that was my beef. I just thought it was, again, it would have been just polite to be like, hey, is this cool? Can we just borrow the seat while no one's sitting there? The seat takers, they did not do the work, Billy. And it's oh so important to do the work. Everybody out there, if you're not doing the work, I encourage you to do the work, even while it's St. Patrick's Day. Do the work.
I believe we should introduce a bit called What Would Christopher Saletti Do? Because he's a man who would threaten physical violence at the drop of a hat, like literally. And I think he's the kind of person you want him in your corner. You want that man in your corner at all times. Just entering the room, he looks at you like, I may stab you before the night's over.
Like, I'm not an intimidating, imposing figure. So I don't have that. What's the word I'm looking for? Salettiness, maybe we call it.
Sure. Yes. I like that. One time I remember when I was in Los Angeles for a Life of Agony concert, I saw just an incredible move. Life of Agony was playing the Whiskey a Go Go, famed Los Angeles venue.
Yeah.
And the band manager had reserved a table for, and there were some tables that were along the balcony. He had reserved a table for, I guess, you know, friends of the band, anybody that he wanted to have sit there. So there was a sign on there that said reserved for, and then it had his name on it. So at one point, the show was going on. I was walking with him from the backstage towards merch. And as we're walking by, I see a guy sitting at that table. And the band manager approached the guy and said, "Hey, are you with that group?" And the guy was just like, "What?" And he was just like, "Are you with the group? Are you with the group that reserved this table?" And the guy was just like, "Oh, no, I'm not." And he said to the guy, he's like, "Then you shouldn't be sitting at that table. So can you please?" He goes, I know I'm the guy. That's me. That's my name. Please move." And then the guy got up and walked away. And I said to him, I was just like, "Are you going to use the table?" He's like, "No, not at all." He goes, "I just don't want him sitting at my table." And it was just, I looked at him and was just like, oh, that must have been so satisfying. That must have felt so good to throw this fucking stranger out. Because it was a good table too, don't get me wrong. Nice view.
Listen, it's, you know, it's just the assumption that people can do what they want. It's not, that's not the society that we live in, Brian.
Sure. There needs to be order. There cannot be chaos.
Yeah. Well, let's we've killed 27 minutes on our opening two bits, so let's try and get into some of the stories here. Our stories of the week, the ones that we want to make sure don't slip through the cracks, that we get to them during this episode. Brian, what are you bringing to the table this week as far as the story?
I'm going to say this is a story of concern, something we as, you know, humans on this planet need to be concerned about. My story goes, it will take us all the way to the city of Fukuyama in Japan, where the local authorities have placed the entire city on high alert. No, people, this is not a joke. The local authorities have sent out word that the residents of Fukuyama, Japan, need to be on high alert for a potentially toxic cat who fell into a vat of carcinogenic chemicals at a steel manufacturing plant, then escaped into the streets. The residents were warned to be on the lookout for a, quote, abnormal looking cat, and instructed to not approach or touch the cat if they were to spot it, but instead to call the police. The feline is believed to have fallen into a tank of molten chromium at the Nomura plating factory 2 weekends ago. A worker who arrived for their shift at the factory said that they discovered a mysterious trail of yellow paw prints across the parking lot. Closed circuit TV from the parking lot showed a cat walking out. Ladies and gentlemen, this is how half the Japanese movies started that I've ever watched. Godzilla, the creature from the Black Lagoon, King Kong. I mean, just everybody falls into some type of vat of acid or some type of chemical which changes their biological makeup and now makes them a threat for humanity. This is not out of the pages of Marvel or DC.
I say this sounds like the Joker backstory from Batman.
No, we have a cat who literally survived molten chromium, I believe it was. Seriously, this is a plot of an early Simpsons episode. Everything. Simpsons did it. So we need to, Mr. Freeze, there you go. Like, this is true. You know, this might be like the eighth sign that the world is coming to an end. Tomorrow we'll wake up and be covered in locusts. So be careful, Fukuyama, if you see any cats walking around the streets. Ron, what's your story of the week?
So my story, Brian, you know, we are film buffs, Brian. We like capturing whatever new movies are coming into the theaters lately. Are you familiar with the new Kristen Stewart film, Love Lies Bleeding, that has recently been released? So apparently,
is she the one from the Moonlight movies?
Twilight, yes.
Yes. Okay. Now I know who you're talking about. No, I have no idea she was in a movie.
So this is apparently it is a sexually charged film about a pair of lesbian lovers that is set in the world of bodybuilding. Apparently, a moviegoer at MJR Southgate Cinema in suburban Detroit really enjoyed the movie because he was arrested for allegedly engaging in lewd behavior during a screening of the film. This is a photo of a man asleep.
They took a photo of this dude.
Yes, because he was asleep in the movie theater. He apparently had taken his penis out of his pants, pleasured himself, and then we can all relate to this, guys. Fell asleep shortly afterwards until police came and roused him and arrested him. Also nice to see on the table next to him some liquor, pack of cigarettes, and his ticket. So this guy clearly enjoyed the movie. And frankly, I'm thinking that these viral stunts that movies are pulling, they've gone too far this time, Brian. I think that's what this is. This is how sexy this movie is you won't be able to stop from cranking your hog right in the middle of the theater.
Yeah. Now the question is, did he get the June movie popcorn bucket?
No word on that as of yet.
Wait a second, EB, Janelle, and we're supposed to go see that movie with EB. I did not know that EB was a fan of lesbian art movies. I always thought that he went for the Marvel movies.
I don't know that it was an art movie, but who knows?
I just made that up. Why is my forehead getting red? You notice that?
So, Brian, you had a very, very special week this past week. Did we have the discussion on the podcast, or was it on After Dark about how long you would go in between bowel movements? I feel it was on the main podcast a few weeks back. It started as that conversation.
And then
we discovered you had not had a colonoscopy yet.
Ever. I am 51. I've been getting a physical for the last 4 years. And at no point did my primary doctor suggest to me that I get a colonoscopy. Nowadays, it seems to be once you hit 50, it is time for the colonoscopy.
Now it's actually 45. They actually moved it, up a few years.
I dodged a bullet, people, because I did the work. I did the work and avoided the colonoscopy at 45. Anyway, so people were, friends of the show, personal friends, reached out. We spent most of an After Dark 1 week just basically people were expressing their concerns about my bowel habits and how irregular I had been. Hey, you need to get a colonoscopy. You are now, you're of that age to get a colonoscopy. So I said, yes, it's time for a colonoscopy. So made an appointment with my gastroenterologist, Dr. Chirango of the Hackensack Meridian medical facility up here in Edgewater, Weehawken, wherever the fuck it is. So he said, yeah, let's do this. It is time. Colonoscopy time, Brian. So this week, this Thursday, I was scheduled for a colonoscopy, which meant that I was to prep myself on Wednesday. You've had a colonoscopy, haven't you?
I have, yes.
One or multiple?
Just one. I had one when I turned 50, and I don't need another one until I turn 60.
So did they find anything? Hold up. We'll get to that. Let's talk prep work. I don't want to help me along if I drag this story out too long, because I do not want to make this the next 25 minutes.
Drag it.
I could.
Fucker.
Well, let's just be able to say you're going to drag it out.
Did you get a 4-liter jug, or did you get the pills? Because did you get the little bottles? What was your prep solution?
So Your doctor was much more thorough. They gave you like an entire kit that had all your stuff in there.
Sure.
So like my gastroenterologist gave me like a list and said, you know, go get yourself, you know, the Miralax, the powder, go get yourself Ducalax, go get yourself, you know, Gatorade, but it can't be these colors, like mix the Miralax with the Gatorade. And then, the process was similar to what you went through, but you had everything all together where you just, your Miralax was already in a big ass container that you just filled with water. I had to mix that all up on my own at home and drink it.
How soon after you started taking the laxative did you feel a physical, reaction?
I would say, thinking back on it, it probably was, you know, within 45 minutes to an hour of starting the process.
Oh, you poor thing. Okay. So I'm handed what I thought was a gallon jug. Measured it out. It actually turned to be 4 liters. So that's a sizable amount of liquid. Was told I needed to start prepping at 4 p.m. the day before. So Wednesday at 4 p.m., I am to start taking this solution. I am supposed to have finished it by 8 p.m. So in 4 hours, I'm to drink 4 liters.
Right.
That's a lot of liquid.
It is, you know? Yes.
I know people who had to take, who were given pills. No, you know, just some pills. You had some Miralax. You were able to. I had to drink literally. They basically said, drink a glass every 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that's a good pace. Whew. I started at 4 p.m. with my first glass. It felt like heavy water, for lack of a better phrase. Like it sure. didn't have the same viscosity of just a regular glass of water. It kind of just felt like it was, there was definitely something in there. So I started at 4 o'clock. I did not feel any type of movement in my digestive system until after 6:30.
Wow. Okay. That took a while.
What I found so amazing, and this is what was truly concerning me. So I'm drinking a pint glass every 20 minutes, and by 6:30, I'm still sticking to that every 20-minute time schedule. I hadn't urinated at all.
That's unusual.
Where's all this liquid going? People, that's called foreshadowing, because in about 2.5 minutes, I'm going to get to the point where I'm going to tell you where all this liquid was going. I thought it was odd. Like, I've already drank like at least 2 liters of water and I've not urinated any of it out. My stomach feels absolutely fine. I'm just feeling a little bloated from all the liquid. At about, I'm going to say 6:15 or so, my stomach started to gurgle. You started hearing a little noises, some pressure started building up. Just, you don't realize. And obviously, I'm sure you can relate to this because I do want to hear what your experience was like now that I can relate, you know, understand how much, even in a relaxed state, you are clenching your rectum closed. You don't realize what it takes physically to relax the muscle to the point where it opens up and allows for the free flowing of air. When I felt it was time to go, it was probably about 6:40. I sat down on the bowl and I just literally, it was just like, I just couldn't.
Really?
And suddenly I just felt the muscle just like, relaxed a little. And it was just like a little squirt of water came out. And I was like, oh, that's what. And then I relaxed. I'm going to tell you, Ron, literally, it felt like 1.5 liters just came gushing out of my asshole. And the force that it came out at was insane. It literally reminded me of, and I don't know, you must have this. So, you know, that water faucet, the little spigot on the side of your home where most people attach a water hose to, so sure. they can, you know, No hose. You just turn the nozzle on that thing. Water just shoots out at just a frightening speed. So if you're not prepared for it, it's going to surprise. The force that I was just shitting water out in, literally, I was amazed, impressed, and I wanted to be embarrassed by it, but I really wasn't. Maybe you're chronically constipated because you don't know how to relax. Okay, Johanna, you've known me for how many years? Do I come across like I'm a relaxed person in any sense of the word? Literally, just flowed out of me. I was told that my asshole was going to hurt from the constant wiping that was going to happen. Not the case. What I did was I blotted the toilet paper. To get as much as I could off before I actually started doing any of the wiping, such to the point that when I was in the, I was told to be at the hospital at 10:45 for a noon procedure. I did not go in at 8 a.m. like most people do. I got the last appointment of the day. At 10:30, I was in the waiting room and I went to the bathroom and shit what felt like a cup and a half of liquid. Just sat down, just wanted to clean myself out because I was so concerned that they were going to put the camera up there and it would just be like water sloshing around, that I wanted to just like walk in there as fresh as possible. So I just shit another cup and a half. Amazing that I woke up out of the colonoscopy and did not feel any side effects of anything internally. My butt wasn't sore in any, it was almost, right. I mean, I was expecting like a burning feeling. I was going to be, expecting like that somewhere I'd felt like I'd been poked or prodded. Absolutely nothing. Yeah, and I know this is going to, I know this will feed your narrative that I have a very large rectum, which is not the case.
Right.
Never been penetrated by anything more than a finger and a tongue. Mm. But it was, I was expecting to wake up the next morning being like, ow, nothing.
No. I mean, I had a very similar experience. Again, I don't usually have a problem pooping. So it was, once it started, it was, again, very like a fire hose, and you're just pooping air and water at one point during the whole process. The one good thing is I did have, my colonoscopy first thing in the morning. Because you wake up and you want like a cup of coffee, but you can't have a cup of coffee. Like, and you can have just enough water to take like any medicine or what have you. Sure. But yeah, I mean, listen, the drugs knock you out, and then you just wake up and you're like, oh, is it done? And yeah, to your point, like, nah, it doesn't feel anything. So did they find anything?
I'm going to say, yeah. They found a couple polyps, turned out to be, you said, not even non-cancerous. Like pre-cancerous, absolutely non-cancerous. They took out. I asked if I could get them back. He said no. and then he also found diverticulosis, which he also said was like 99% of all people have. Not diverticulitis. Litis was different.
Right.
But he said osis is incredibly – what the only part that bothered me, I guess you could say in hindsight, is that I got into the operating room at – it was probably like 12:20-ish. So I was the last person, and you could tell they were in a rush. Like they were kind of like, okay, hurry. Yeah. So that when I was coming out of the anesthesia or the effects of the anesthesia, he was telling me that everything was all right. Whereas when this person I know closely and intimately recently had theirs, they waited like 20 minutes for the doctor to come out. So they were able to really absorb the information. I remembered that I was no longer feeling the effects of it, he's standing there telling me everything's all right. What am I ignoring? It's right here. I told you Brian was going to ignore us.
You made a comment earlier. We can discuss on After Dark since it's a pajama party tonight.
Okay. Got it. All right.
I had a similar experience. I had some non-cancerous polyps removed while they were up there. But yeah, everything was good. And like I said, they said, all right, see you when you're 60. I'm like, all right, I will, yeah. I will, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Absolutely. Though I do think it's very important that, if you are having any type of concerning, colorectal, what's the word I'm thinking of? Not procedures, issues. But, issues. That's the word. God damn it. Yeah. Sometimes our brain goes numb. If you're having any colorectal issues, you're having, digestion issues or whatnot, get a colonoscopy. It's a fucking shame how important it is to have insurance in America that this, preventative procedure that can help, you know, identify problems prior to them, becoming, life threatening, is something that is going to cost thousands of dollars. And insurance is almost mandatory to be able to have that. That this isn't something that we just, as Americans, who have access to some of the greatest medical care in the world, that is only accessible to those of us with insurance. But it's very important to get people take care of yourself physically.
And Billy's asking why a 10-year wait. He's having his second one just 3 years after his first. I mean, I didn't want to brag, but you know, my doctor did say I had probably one of the greatest rectums that he's ever seen. He said it was a championship rectum, and so solid.
He also said that didn't he also say it tasted great?
He did. He said, you know, one of the top five. He had rated it. You know, I know my wife has to go in 5 years because they did find precancerous polyps in her. Mm-hmm. Nothing out of a panic, but just enough to be checked. And yes, Billy nailed it. I did the work. More importantly,
I got seven. Did the work. My guy said 7 to 10 years that I have to go back. And also in terms of Billy, you know, when he says he has to go back in three, no offense. You grew up living in New Jersey. I mean, right off the bat, I think that should be a once a year kind of thing because you have no idea what the industrial waste from New Jersey and how it seeps into the ground. I mean, I live in an ivory tower, so I'm so far removed from the actual, you know, ground level of the New Jersey soil. But, you know, if you come into contact with it on a regular basis, I just don't think it's an issue.
Just the big thing, don't ignore any messages your body's giving you, is I think the takeaway, the net of the conversation. What else happened this week, Brian? Obviously, the colonoscopy was important. Yes, my friend.
I actually wanted to ask you a question.
Yes.
You know, we as much as we like to trash William Esquire for living in New Jersey, you have never lived in New Jersey. Is that correct?
That is correct.
You currently live in Pennsylvania.
I do.
And you are, how do I say this? How do I put this politely, people? You are very active in your community, wouldn't you say?
I mean, as active as one can be, yes.
Would you, and one of the things that one of the things that I love about the community that you are currently in suburban Pennsylvania, is that Delaware County or Montgomery?
It's Montgomery County.
Montco. Is just the sense of togetherness, the sense of we are all in it together. You know, we may have a different address. We could have the same zip code, but we're all breathing the same air. And, Ron, you bring to the table quite often, you know, episodes, issues that happen in your local community that really have global ramifications for human behavior. And I believe you have one for us this week. Is that correct?
I assume you're referring to the infamous Elkins Park Happenings Facebook page, which I believe you were kicked out of at some point.
I did get kicked out. I did get kicked out of that Facebook group. And I rue the day that happened.
So I'm scrolling through my Facebook feed the other day, and I see a post that catches my eye. And the post it's in Elkins Park Happenings. And it just says, you know, based on that previous post, I think we should just all make an effort to go support local businesses. So right off the bat, I'm like, oh, I missed something good. please God, scrolling, please scrolling. let it not have been deleted.
Sure, sure.
So I scroll, I go to the Elkins Park Happenings page, I scroll down, and I see this post by a Clara Maria Ventura, who said, just went to order a cafe au lait at and Be Well Cafe/Bakery was already closed down for coffees? It's 2/3 p.m. Ridiculous. Not hoeing there again. I think she meant not going there again.
Going. Two typos in one set in one word. I mean, that's impressive.
It's impressive. So there is, and it's not really Elkins Park. It's over in Huntington Valley. There's a little place called Be Well Cafe and Bakery. Breakfast and lunch place. Breakfast and lunch. Okay. Not open for dinner. So they close around 2-3 o'clock. And it's, you know, everything's very fresh, organic. So on a day, you know, I've been there. I like it. You go when they run out of stuff, you're pretty much, that's it. You're out till the next day because they don't like wasting stuff and all that. So she clearly was very upset that she couldn't get her cafe au lait and decided to let everybody know about it. So I get excited. 84 comments, Brian. 84 comments. Oh, we're not going to go through all 84 because some of them were just... But she clearly did not get the reaction she was hoping for. Rebecca jumped in and said, I used to work there during COVID, and I can tell you COVID changed everything for them. They've done what they had to do in order to stay open. This business is owned by a husband and wife. They have 3 kids. This is their entire lives, social lives, income, everything. And you really should rethink before you post nasty about a small business when there's a Dunkin' Donuts down the street you can stop at. Very true. You can always get a cafe au lait at Dunkin' Donuts.
Sure.
Hold on, I got to take the little banner off so you can see. So Clara hops in, starts to defend herself. Oh, no, sorry, this is Giuliano. Such a lame post, bashing a business for no reason. To which Clara responds, okay, your opinion. So then Lisa hops in. They are right. Be Well is closed at 2:30 for a long time, well over a year. Their hours are clearly published on both their website and Google. You post to bash them just because you didn't like what time they closed, they chose to close just because it inconveniences you? To which Clara responds, yeah, that's right.
Which is actually fair. I mean, she's allowed to sit there and be like, listen, sure, you know, your hours are inconvenient.
Then Bobby says, as are other businesses that cater to morning dining clientele, Phila Bagel and Manhattan Bagel to name two. Adrian, if you want businesses to stay in Elkins Park, you need to patronize them. Are you really taking the position that you are not going back again because you could not get your coffee at two? To which Clara responds, and Clara kept up with this as long as she could get. Clara said, yeah. I think it's absurd that they can't stay open and serve people in Elkins Park and surrounding areas. A business should not close at 2 p.m. for paying customers. So then Bobby, who had commented earlier, hops back in, lets her know, hey, look, Phila Bagel closes at 2. Manhattan Bagel closes Manhattan at Bagel. 2.
Yeah.
So then Kevin hops in. Sure, you're entitled to your opinion, so but it's standard practice for most breakfast places to close around that time. You're going to bash a local business for closing at an appropriate time? To which Clara responds, KK, whatever you think, that's fine. Just like whatever I think. Thank you. Then Kevin responds, it will be okay, I promise. Praying they survive without your coffee order. Clara goes, I'm sure they will. All good.
Oh, I love Lisa, this. Keep going.
Are all businesses obliged to be open 24/7 to fulfill your every whim? To which Clara responds, I didn't say they were. I said if they're open, then they should be serving all on menu. All over a cafe au lait. Christine, so sorry you couldn't make it in on time. Not. Great Wayne's World reference there. We have a breakfast lunch restaurant and our doors close at 1:30 and kitchens close at 1:45. Maybe you should make your own coffee. That way you can't blame anyone but yourself for being late. So Clara replies, that's what I did. Thanks. Not.
My wife, not.
Marie hops in. Hours listed say they close at 2:30, to which Clara says, okay, thank you for the info. And Maria pops
She's
back.
She's responding to everything.
It was all. Let's try to support and uplift the small businesses in our communities. I've always had excellent food and service at Be Well and hope this inspires others to support them. Then Joe, out of nowhere, many people, myself included, heed this advice. Why avoid caffeine after 2 p.m.? The generally recommended cutoff time for caffeine use is a minimum of 8 hours before bedtime. For example, if you typically go to bed at 10 p.m., avoiding caffeine after 2 p.m. might help minimize sleep problems. www.sleepfoundation.org.
And he's a prick because he's including links. He's going to websites to research to say, I love Elkins Park. I love Elkins Park so much.
So then Craig sums this up very well. Whenever I need a good laugh, I log on to Facebook.
Yeah.
And then Matt, with every passing day, this group gets more unhinged. And then Goat House Creamery, a great little coffee shop here in Elkins Park, posts their hours so you know they're open till 7 o'clock during the week and 8 o'clock on the weekends. So if you need a cafe au lait, you go to Goat House Creamery. Poison Ivy said, I bet this didn't go as you expected.
Yeah.
Oh, this was a favorite. So this was a picture of triggered Karen heads being shot out of bazookas. And Christopher St. Clara, you should land on the coffee shop. Oh God, I love my community Facebook group.
This is so priceless.
So then Clara just kind of sums it up at the end. Okay, thanks for the input, if everyone, but I'm not sure why I can't post something I think is wrong in my opinion. And so Billy makes a good point. He says, it looks like Clara was kicked out of the group because if you see the earlier post, it shows she's no longer in the group. She left the group. Like the moderator was like, oh, we didn't kick her out. She's like, you people chased her away. Like she left based off the
trip. which is solid because that's the same group I got kicked out of.
Right. Well, because
I got kicked out of that group.
Regardless of what the question was, you would recommend Chef Vargas. Like if people asked for a restaurant, you'd be like, you know what? You should really check out Chef Vargas. Great little hidden gem. But then, oh, I need a plumber. You know, you really should check out Chef Vargas, great local gem. That's why you got kicked out of it.
Oh. And people would write there like, oh, no, I've been to Chef Vargas. He's great, but I need a plumber. And I would be like, well, while your plumber's working on your kitchen, you should go to Chef Vargas. By the way, your Facebook group, I do not have anything like that where I'm at. I'm part of the Port Imperial. I'm part of the West New York. They don't have this back and forth. There's no antagonism that goes on in my local Facebook group like there is in yours. See, even Billy agrees. Chef Vargas is good.
It's the sense of clueless entitlement that people show in a majority of their posts in that group. But like two big things. Number one, fireworks. If there's any kind of fireworks going off anywhere, people are going to be posting about it. And SEPTA at times will need to inspect the tracks. And they do that with a helicopter. And they will announce, they'll put it out on their social media that, yeah, helicopters are going to be inspecting the track. Well, nobody sees the social media posts from SEPTA because when there are helicopters flying low over Elkins Park, it lights up. Oh my God, it lights up.
Oh, I do love it. I do. And not only that, see, that's the other thing that which leads me to say that the Elkins Park Facebook group is at elite, is that it does reach a level where people are no longer participating in a productive conversation. Oh, no. Like when people start chiming in with memes, that's when you know you're dealing with like a higher level internet user. When someone's sitting there, like it's not just like it starts off with this person who's like I'm unhappy with something that took place in our local area, and someone chimes back with, "Well, I disagree with you," but the 84 comments, it's just gold, and I hope you do appreciate that is something that you have access to that others don't. I mean, it is
it's a blessing. Oh,
it's so good. It's absolutely so good. When you reached out to me earlier today and you were like, I have a local Facebook post. I was like, can't wait.
Thank you, Daddy.
Can't wait for it. So good. Thank you.
What else happened? My God, we didn't even really get to news, but we'll hit a few news stories. Kate Middleton. Will we see proof of life about Kate Middleton? Because I am loving every single conspiracy theory that is coming out about what exactly is going on at the moment.
All right. So the idea is this, is that Kate Middleton, Princess of Windsor,
Wales,
I don't know what she does. Wales, Princess of Wales. I don't know. She's married to Prince Harry, Prince William, the bald one. By the way, also, I saw recently a meme where it was just like, you know, if karma is not a thing, and it showed a picture of Prince William when he had a full head of hair and a picture of Prince William now currently. And it was just like something out there really hated this man because he went from like hot daddy to just like, I'm going to get yelled at by a British person very soon if I keep bashing the royal family. But it was so. So she apparently in January posted that she was going to be having an emergency abdominal surgery that was going to take her out of the public view for a month.
Yes.
Now we live in an age where you know, people do kind of gravitate towards conspiracy theories. So as soon as that happened, people were like, "Okay, well, what's really happening here?" And it kind of died down for a little bit in terms of what's going on with Kate. People are like, kind of like, you know what? She's going through a personal time. She had some surgery and like, you know, let's let her have time to recuperate. However, last week, a photograph was released by the royal household, whatnot, supposedly wishing everyone a happy Mother's Day in England, Mother's Day. Was this past Sunday in America here, Mother's Day is the third Sunday of May. Over in England, they do it in March. Why? Because they have to remind us that they were here first. But we know Mother's Day is really in May. Anyway, but her photo goes out. It's a beautiful photo of Princess Kate with her three adorable children. And then people started looking at the photo. And within, I would say, a couple hours, it started to come out that this photo was less than genuine, that there were inconsistencies within this photo. Now, I'll be honest with you. I looked at the photo. I couldn't see anything that was fucking weird about it whatsoever. But I also know I'm not a photo expert. So if the experts are saying there's something weird about it, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to trust your opinion because it's not something that I'm going to put the time and effort into researching.
Well, I think what started first is people were like, oh, she doesn't have her wedding ring on her left hand. And then as people started to like zoom in on that, they're like, she doesn't have a left wrist in this photo. Mm-hmm. And then that's when they really started to. And then someone noticed that the kid's hand was screwed up, but Kate's face, her facial expression, literally lined up 100% with a Vogue cover photo she had done a couple of years back.
Sure. So the idea is that this photo was either heavily photoshopped or using whatever photo editing software du jour is going on right now, or this was an AI generated photo of Kate Middleton and her kids. And here is where I think it got truly interesting for anyone who is even a mild observer of the royal family, is that Kate Middleton's Twitter account issued an apology within days of this photo coming out, apologizing to the public, stating that she had, you know, just like everyone else, gotten into photo editing herself. And it seemed like, you know, she, you know, was still at an amateur level and had, you know, taken some liberties. And she's sorry if people, you know, were upset that they, you know, there had been anything, you know, adjusted to this photo. Like the very fact that the solution to this uproar that coming from the royal household was to have Kate herself apologize, stating that she is the one who did this editing. I think that, and listen, we all watch The Crown. We understand that, like, you know, nothing, you know, is said externally that has not been thought of, sent to a focus group internally, talked about, pros, cons. The fact that they decided that it was a better move publicly to send Kate out there with a tweet
But they didn't even
apologizing.
But the thing is, they didn't even send her out there. Like, it's
no.
Anyone could type that out. Like, that's the amazing thing to me. Like, there are so many avenues to get media out there these days that literally to stop a lot of this, all it would take is just a 30-second video of Kate being like, hey, you know, I'm fine. Just we're dealing with some stuff and we'll let everybody know when I'm able to come, you know, resume, you know, public life. But nothing, none of that. She is the honorary colonel of the Irish Guards, and she missed today's St. Patrick's Day parade. Yeah. And apparently the BBC has been put on 72-hour alert to expect some sort of news coming from the royal family. Now, the story that has gotten the most traction is that William has been having an affair with someone.
Rose.
With her. And
hit me all, like you're...
But it's crazy because, like, so the story again. I there's too many titles to memorize. But so William is having an affair with this woman who is married, but she's basically married to a guy who is gay, but doesn't want to be outed in the British royal circles. So they got married. So he's fine with her, you know, sleeping with other men because he's sleeping with other men. Right. It's crazy. And
the same men or different men?
I don't know. I don't know if they share. Maybe they throuple. Who knows? But the other piece that is now people are throwing in, well, maybe the truth is that King Charles, you know, he's dealing with his cancer diagnosis. Maybe Charles is close to death, which means that William would step up and become king. So maybe he wants to divorce Kate and marry this woman he's having an affair with who may or may not be carrying his child prior to him becoming king. It's better than a soap opera, Brian. It's better. They're going to have to renew The Crown on Netflix for another two seasons just to encapsulate all of this.
All joking aside, Ron, what do you think is going on? Because I've seen some wild that, like, William knocked up his mistress and that Kate is having a midlife crisis as a result of it. I've also read that Kate got pregnant by, like, the guy that she's having an affair with. And that this is all going on, and that's why she can't be in the public eye. What do you think is going on? Why is my voice going cracking?
I feel there's probably a very good possibility that William was having an affair, you know, like father, like son.
Sure.
And, you know, someone said, you know, Kate found out about the affair, and she doesn't want to play along with the royal family anymore. And so, you know, she knows that she doesn't have the ability to just go out and talk to the press, but she's also not going to go along with whatever staged, you know, photo op or PR thing that they're going to do at this point. So it's because I can't imagine why the royal family would let this get as out of hand in the press as it has.
Sure.
When it could have been just shut down very simply by having Kate make an appearance. So I don't think she's dead. Like, everyone's like, she's dead. She's in a shallow grave somewhere, you know, at Buckingham Palace. But I do think, like, she's just like, you know, I married this guy. I kept my looks. He didn't. And now he's fooling around with someone less attractive than me. And, I'm not going to play the palace games anymore. Just like, you know, and they're probably doing to her what they did to Princess Diana. They tried to make Diana look like a nut job. They leaked information about her depression. They leaked information about her potential suicide thoughts that she was telling to her therapist to make her look like she was the unhinged one when she was dealing with trying to handle her husband's affair, you know, being in a very public eye.
Right. What I think is actually interesting, or one of the things I think is interesting, is how you know, during the whole Harry and William and Kate and, you know, Meghan and whatnot, it was always, you know, spoken about how Kate was really, you know, holding the royal family line, that she, you know, was the example that was being, compared to where Meghan Markle was falling behind in terms of how to represent the royal family well. And I find it so interesting in that, you know, she was, you know, Meghan just got trashed by the British press. The royal family absolutely, shit on Meghan and wanted to, just did not have any level of support for her, and was supposed to have this whole time that Kate was the shining example of, right, you know, what the royal family wanted. And in such a short period of time, these past 3 months, Kate has gone from, she is exactly what we want from a princess, a future queen, to now there is a legitimate argument going out in social media and whatnot, which in many ways is more valid than the published press, that Kate is dead and that there is a replacement Kate that is being right, manufactured by the royal family. Like, it's just so wild, her fall from grace, and that the royal family's solution was to have Kate acknowledge that she's the one sitting there photo editing on her computer, on her little MacBook Pro, sitting there being like, well, let me twist my son's hands into a garbled mess, you know, before I send this photo. Like, it's just wild to me.
Well, we will obviously keep an eye on the news and see how this plays out. In the meantime, Brian, you are going to be traveling overseas. You have a trip over to Asia, to Hong Kong, and to China. Finally, getting over there and dealing with some of those legal issues that popped up during those college trips you made over there back in the 90s. So I think it's very mature of you to be taking some responsibility about this.
You know, Ron, I know you want to spin it that way, but I'm going to say that my upcoming trip to China, you know, I am going as your 49%, as your vice president, if you would, as your conciliary, as your Tom Hayden, Tom Fagan, Tom. What was
his
name?
You'll have to Google it later. Hagen. I don't remember.
Hagen. Anyway, but, you know, as your number two, engage number two, as your number two, I'm going to China for a 10-day trip to negotiate some deals with manufacturers there. So we've got some very exciting opportunities for Ron and Brian podcast merchandise. You know, one of the things that we have seen over the past few years is, you know, if you really want to reach the masses, you need to not go through these middlemen like Vistaprint, like Sticker Mule, like TeePublic. You need to go out there and speak to the actual manufacturers. Who are the people who are making these podcast stickers, these podcast magnets, these podcast lapel pins?
But this time's gotta stop.
Sorry.
But you need to go out there and negotiate business terms. You need to negotiate business deals with them. I'm going out there because, you know, let's be honest, you have more important things to do. I'm going out there to negotiate deals with manufacturing owners, factory owners, so that we can get the best deals possible for our podcast merchandise buyers. This past week, I wanted to take a moment to thank everybody that made a purchase at our web store. If you go to runbrianpodcast.com, you click on the store link. You know, we heard some grumbling earlier this week about the price of postage. The fact that we are not allowing first-class postage to be a shipping option. Listen, this is Bidenomics. You know, you cannot trust the United States Postal Service under President Dark Brandon. You know, you can only do priority mail. We need to be able to track packages to you. Sure, it's going to cost an extra dollar or two, but at the end of the day, the security you're going to get over first class mail is just so important. So we want to thank everybody that placed an order at our web store earlier this week. Already seeing very happy people posting what they had received. But I'm not going to be here the next two weekends, Ron. So you're going to have to tell us what your plans are for the show as champion.
Well, so there are some very special episodes that you can expect. over the next couple of weeks. So just keep an eye out on our social media pages for more information on that. In the meantime, we will be having an early pajama party this month for our Patreon subscribers. As we have mentioned, if you subscribe at the $10 a month level or higher, you do get access to our After Dark, which takes place at 9:30 every Sunday night with Brian's departure. We're going to have an early pajama party. We're going to do it tonight in just 15 minutes. We're going to have fun. We're going to have frivolity, and we're going to have a Can You Beat Ron? Oh, boy. Anyway, I think that's about all we can really say. I'm not even going to ask you, Brian, if you have anything in addition. Travel safe, Brian. Don't do anything to piss off the Chinese. Brian, we will see you in a few weeks. Everybody else, we will see you next Sunday. Patreon subscribers, we'll see you in 15.
Thank you for joining us on the Ron and Brian podcast. We're live each week on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at ronandbrianpodcast.com. See you again next week.